Okay. Hey, welcome to Immunize Wisely. I'm Jenna Shibutis, and I'm filling in for Ingrid Castle. She is going dancing tonight. How about that? Go, Ingrid, go. We have a chat that Mirbalee has set up at Immunize Wisely. It is two Z's, immunizewisely.chatango.com. And it's a lively place to put links, harvest links, do more research, or add comments or questions to the guests that we have. And tonight, I have two guests with complimentary insights to not-so-hidden advances in our world communitarian governance. Been constructed carefully, worded memes, mainstream media repeated over and over phrases that are neuro-linguistic programming to ensure our safety, equity, justice, community, all those buzzwords that we keep hearing, that's a problem. So my guests tonight are Aman Jabi and Larkin Texas. And I was going to read the bio. I'm going to read the bio of my two guests. Aman Jabi has a high-tech career spanning over 25 years. He was at the forefront of video camera technology in Silicon Valley. He has co-founded two camera startups. If you have a camera in your phone, stream, video, or movies, he's played a part in it. Aman has a bachelor's in electrical and electronics engineering and master's in chemistry from BITS in India, a master's in electrical engineering from Penn State University, and studied computer science at Stanford. He is an avid photographer and a private pilot. As a lover of liberty, Aman arrived in the U.S. in 1988 in search of a free society and now resides in Big Fork, Montana. And our other guest is our famous Lark in Texas. Lark's bio is, since 2004, he first came online and encountered strange, wordsy, communitarian words and communitarian law. Lark has come to understand that the word in the English language that best described the existential life-changing threat they pose to our American way of life. They represent a way of thinking that has emerged on our watch, and it's truly a game changer. Until we confront what these words and their meanings portend for our future, we will never have the ammunition even to defend ourselves from their effects. So I did want to just play a short clip because Aman has put out a very good presentation that is in the chat room. I just wanted to play a short clip of it to get an idea. And then we'll start our conversation. So, Sam, if you don't mind playing clip number one.
Okay, it's good to
talk. No worries. Oh, okay. Well, our guests tonight, Lark and Aman, would you like to say hello to our listenership?
You first, Aman.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me, Jenna. I appreciate it, and I hope that this is a fun conversation, even though it's going to be about extremely dark subjects.
It's true. And as I was re-listening to your presentation, this afternoon, and the panopticon stood out to me as something that Lark has identified on his website as well. And for the listeners, both of their presentation and Lark's, we've got it all set up. And Lark's website. Oh, no. Clip one is 5 minutes 23 to 9:29. Yes, please. 9:29. I'm sorry.
Exactitude counts.
Yeah. It's a hot day.
We're getting some rain here.
Oh, finally. Wonderful.
Finally. 106 degrees yesterday in Dallas, Texas.
Yes, please.
Right. So how does facial recognition work? Most of us, we use these smartphones, and the introduction, the benefits to us and how it's been introduced is that, you know, it unlocks your phone and it's convenient, and it's also for our safety and security. So the way it works is there's an invisible or infrared projector inside your phone, which throws a beam of light. It's like actually what they call a structured light pattern. And that pattern gets distorted on your face. And that distortion is unique for every face in the world. And some sort of a, you know, a formula is computed, and that formula is then matched to the formula and dots that have been stored in the phone. And then it unlocks your phone when it authenticates your identity. When you are looking at facial recognition cameras which are not in your phone, then that equation or the dot pattern is compared with millions of other images and faces in order to verify your authenticity. So that's how facial recognition works in devices and cameras. So the way this has been sold to us have been the carrots. It's for convenience, of course. And it's for our safety and security. And of course, it's to catch the bad guys. You know, it's to catch terrorists and thieves and child molesters. And as a society across the world, we've bought this story. And by the end of the presentation, or even I'd say 70% into this, you will see how the sticks are coming for all of humanity. And the sticks are going to be sealing our fate. It's going to be really bad, right? The way it's been shown in China, you know, Big Brother has already met Big Data, and facial recognition and cameras, they have been computing now for a few years, social credits for all the Chinese citizens. And social credits can be used to directly control the behavior of people. I was at a conference in China in late 2019 in Shenzhen. And Shenzhen is kind of one of the ultimate smart cities already built by then. And this was the kind of, surveillance that you see at every intersection, every building. So they have license plate readers. They have lane detection cameras. They have face recognition cameras. They are sucking up data in real time 24/7. And they have screens everywhere you go, in railway stations, in airports. And they are telling you, we are watching you. We know who you are. And we are going to keep watching you, and you're going to be okay with it. And there's this kind of a programming that's gone on. Apologies. Sorry, I got a phone call. I thought I'd shut off all my devices. So here's, you know, some girls showing off their social credit scores on an app. And what that does is it controls directly your behavior and your compliance based on how the algorithms and Big Brother wants you to behave. Right? So you'll see lots of documentaries from Australia, England, United States. BBC's continues to come out with documentary about every few weeks. And the narrative is that privacy and freedom are dead in China. Social credits control system is already there in China. And implicitly, we in the Western world are free. What they don't tell you is it's already happening here. We don't have any privacy or freedom. The credit scoring system has already started, and we are not free. It's just that we have not yet been given an app to show us what our social credit scores are. At some point, they are going to do that, and it's not too far from now. Right? What is not said is that cameras per capita in the United States is greater than in China as of February 2022. And London, which is one of the supposedly free cities in the world in a free country called the United Kingdom, it's number three in the world in terms of cameras per 1,000 people. So the infrastructure here is in place. All the systems are in place in the West, and they are expanding. And by 2025, $2 trillion would have been spent in establishing, installing the infrastructure of cameras, surveillance, and smart cities. And by 2030, that number is going to be at $7 trillion. And these reports have all been published. That's the kind of infrastructure that's being spent. So while the world was sleeping, and COVID was announced in March of 2020, and most of the places in the world were locked down, in quarantine, and the Fear TV was blasting in every home in the world, they were installing the smart city infrastructure with cameras and smart lights and smart poles. By the end of 2022, 1 billion surveillance cameras connected to the internet and to the cloud and artificial intelligence will have been installed. And that's for a population of 7 billion people. It's not to catch the bad guys, in case you hadn't figured that out. It's to catch all of us, because we are all the bad guys.
Right? Okay, thank you. Right? Yes, the power of this panopticon generated through the tech. And Lark in Texas has an immense website with many great thoughts and ideas. And I went to the third post, the 9 words, and looked up his link, Reversing the Panopticon. And it is a digital panopticon that exists, because everyone is in front of a screen every day. So the advances have been extreme in these past 2 years. And I wanted to bring Lark in, because I think the ideas and thoughts that come to his mind about this subject are important. So, Lark, do you have any ideas on the power produced in this digital panopticon?
Well, I can share with you all, to begin our discussion, a quote from Sun Tzu in The Art of War. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. And what is happening around the world and right here in America right now is that we're under military occupation and conquest, whether we choose to believe it or not. So that's exactly what's happening. We're being stripped of our right to ownership of property. We're being stripped, as we speak, of our freedom, our liberty. We not only will not be able to own property, but we will not be able to own our own minds and our own bodies in such a system that's being erected all around us. And with this infrastructure, of which Amanjabi is well versed, having been at the forefront of developing a lot of this digital camera and video technology over the years in Silicon Valley and San Francisco and stuff like that, he's here with us tonight to explain what this actually portends and what this technology can do. And there's people like me that are older that have been sounding the alarm about this for some time, but the truth is, for someone like me to sound the alarm about this technology at all, and of course, what I'm talking about are the grim technologies. That would be genetics, robotics, information, and nanotech. Then we don't realize that we truly are in the middle of a war And as I see it right now, it's a war that we're losing.
Right, because I hear the music. We are coming up to a break. Please stay tuned. I have questions for our guests. Thank you.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadrepreciousmetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
This is Jenna Chaputis. I am filling in for Ingrid Prettcastle, and my guests today are Aman Javi and Lark in Texas. And I was thinking about all of this technology and how fast it was invested in, developed worldwide. And we did have an early question of how much of that investment came from federal funding. Aman, I'd love to hear your perspective because you came from this field.
So, yeah, this is a multi-layered approach on how this is being done. As I think many of the listeners of this show and, you know, the law, obviously, and yourself, know how the money printing is done through the Federal Reserve, right? And so, as I was uncovering what's happening in the world over the last few years, and particularly the last 2 years, one can connect the dots that all the money is being printed by the Federal Reserve and given to private companies in the guise of public-private partnerships. And literally, the goal for Agenda 2030 is to have $6.9 trillion worldwide to install the smart cities. So it is all printed money from, you know, central banking across the world. It's done in the name of, you know, P3.
Yes. Yeah, it is growing.
Are there any other specific things you want to try and dig from that?
Well, let's see. I guess I wanted to talk about your, let's see, can you, oh yeah, well, the federal involvement, and what I'm seeing now is that the access, we don't have our privacy, and the access to all this information is readily available for all of the bullet points of sustainable development for health and safety. But it also comes to mind the environmental social governance policies that are involved globally. And I think I would love for you to talk more about your perspective, because I guess I don't have a question right now.
Okay. Let me see. Okay, so obviously, you know, precision in language, like, you know, yourself and Locke and other, you know, Brian have, is really important here. So when people talk that we won't have a privacy, I just want to kind of give a heads up to everybody. Your privacy will be guaranteed. Just because cameras are looking at us and collecting data and other sensors are collecting data, all this data is going to be, you know, part of, it's like, a, think of it as an IoT, which is the Internet of Things, is connected to the internet. It's taken up to the cloud. And once the data is in the cloud, artificial intelligence processes this data and then takes all the relevant items from this data and puts it on your blockchain, where it will be recorded permanently. And this blockchain will not be viewable by human beings and tech companies pretty much. It will all be viewable by AI. So algorithms will be able to view it, but your privacy is guaranteed. So that's important to understand. So whenever you see any, you know, documentaries or videos or articles that you read, it's a red herring. It's to take the conversation away from the sensors and the IoT and the smart city surveillance infrastructure. And you will keep seeing this again and again, month after month, year after year, till the final lockdown happens. And so whenever you have any conversation about privacy, you know, you should know that it's a red herring. And the focus should really be on the infrastructure that's being set up.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so,
Please go ahead.
No, so I wanted to kind of round off, like, people may be hearing things like digital transformation. You know, a lot of papers are getting published by the World Economic Forum, and now all the chief, you know, information officers in all the, you know, corporate world, they are going and taking training on digital transformation. And I think everyone should understand that digital transformation is really not about companies going digital or anything like that. It is about what I call is conditional access. And that conditional access is a mechanism that, you know, this particular digital system that is being put in place is going to be used to enslave people. But everything will be on conditional access. And so there are five pillars to this transformation.
Yeah. And I did find a video that I did hope to play clip two. And this was on the software intelligence ensuring health. And this is the sensors that are in the Fitbits. And maybe we could just listen to clip two, Sam. And this is from a Rothschild patent going back to 2015, which indicates and wrote about COVID-19 back in 2015. So if Sam could play.
Sorry.
Yes, please.
I
And in these two diagrams from the patent, you'll see that they intend using the cloud to communicate with your phone, and that the cloud will talk with a computer so that your data can be processed using AI. Now we'll look at instances of where COVID-19 is mentioned in this patent, which you'll remember goes all the way back to 2015. Now let's look at the references to AI in this document about this invention from 2015 about the coronavirus. On page 11, you'll see at the top it says that it can be appreciated other vital signs may be acquired using sensors or manually by entering information. And the sensor would be the one that's included to go along and work with this fitness product called a pulse oximeter. And you would use this sensor to determine the patient's health, wellness or well-being, e.g. whether the patient is suffering from a bacterial and or viral infection. It should be appreciated that this determination can be made manually or automatically using software, artificial intelligence, etc. in isolation by comparing measured data to at least one value indicative of COVID-19. The second reference to artificial intelligence along with COVID-19 is on page 12 of the patent document, and says this: as discussed previously above, software or artificial intelligence, AI, can be used to make a medical diagnosis based on the received information, in other words, from the sensor that they sell you that works with the fitness app. In other words, they'll use the information from the sensor and any other medical documents that that app connects with to determine whether you suffer from a medical condition, e.g. COVID-19. The results provided to the individual, i.e. through AI back into the phone, could be an indication, i.e. positive or negative, or the likelihood of 1 through 10, low, medium or high, of the medical condition. The results could then be provided to the individual through the phone screen or third party to a hospital. In other words, they may notify other people that you have COVID-19. And there's two further references that AI will be used to determine a diagnosis of COVID-19. And part 9 says that what they're going to do is to create some software called machine readable instructions to compare your data to determine the likelihood that you're suffering from COVID-19, and that will be done using AI, artificial intelligence. Let's now review the key points. And if you're someone who's intelligent and you can critically...
Thank you. Yeah, he wrote it out so it was a visual summary of what he just spoke of. But this is an elaboration of how far along this is all moving and has been planned for so long. And I do want to bring up the point that because Aman has an overall perspective of this surveillance network and the Smart Cities program, I'm seeing it in Olympia, tiny town here. Lark, down by you, are you already seeing the infrastructure for smart cities developing? And what are your comments on health and security, for that matter?
Well, I honestly feel like one of those wild and free pigs of the Okefenokee Swamp. In other words, I know that I'm surrounded. I'm being attacked, I'm being surveilled, I'm being tracked, I'm being traced, and I'm being poisoned at every turn. I'm surrounded by zombies and criminals, and there's infrastructure. Just in the past few months, we have new cameras at every single intersection, every single one. And there's long been an LED streetlight right outside my window. I have a smart meter on my house. You cannot cross a street that leads to any kind of commercial space without having signals at crosswalks that speak to you and actually spy on you. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is I feel like I'm being imprisoned.
Right.
And I know the technology is deleterious to human health. I know it for a fact because I've myself have wound up in the hospital 6 or 7 years ago, back to back within a year, requiring hospitalization. And you're talking to someone that hadn't been to see a doctor since 1975. I don't like them. I don't trust them at all. And I know that this tech is dirty in every way, shape, or form.
So could I butt in here? This is Brian, Jenna's sweetheart. I'm just going to say that my mom passed away from Parkinson's a year and a half ago, big Irish Catholic family. I was invited to attend the wake memorial service and declined because six of my brothers and sisters all have got vaccines, and of course they all have cell phones. If I show up at this thing and the cell phone apps are tracking and tracing and somebody tests positive, and next thing I know, I've got 5 or 6 20-year-old snot-nosed kids pounding on my door. We're here to give you a PCR test, and if you test positive, you're going into confinement. That is my concern with the clip we played involving the Rothschild family technology that can do this. And yeah, if this isn't, if you need to be beat over the head to realize this is going to affect you, I mean, this COVID one is just the first one. It's going to go on and on, and clearly this thing needs to be looked into and be in our front and center.
Peripheral.
Peripheral in everything we do. Why are we married to this technology that we have no control over? End of rant.
And what I pulled up on Lark's site under 9 words is his 5 maxims of law. And I really like to refer to this because contractual law is when you agree upon the terms. And I'm just going to read his 5 laws and see if we can talk about this as what we would like to do to resist what we're not agreeing to. 1, every man is presumed to intend the natural and probable consequences of his own voluntary acts. 2, he who seeks the benefit must stand to the burden. 3, the agreement of the parties makes the law of the contract. 4, the agreement of the parties overrides the law. And 5, no injury is done by things long acquiesced in because long sufferance is construed as consent. So by not having awareness of what's happening means we can't resist, and therefore there's consent. Aman, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I think one thing I'd like to say is whenever I look at the infrastructure of the smart cities, I see a concentration camp being built. So what they are building is basically open-air concentration camps. Then after that, I think I have a couple of comments. The Rothschild patent video that was played, you know, I don't have subject matter expertise in the biomedical stuff. However, you know, since I was doing a lot of research, especially since the COVID was announced, I didn't see this till a few weeks ago. So I don't even know if this is an authentic patent or has it been planted to take the conversation elsewhere. Because in my belief, everything that's being done, the smart cities is where it's at, where our conversation needs to be, and the smart cities need to be undone. That means all the infrastructure of IoT, cameras, sensors, radars, LED lights, and so on and so forth. And if we start talking about COVID-19 Rothschild patents, that's where the AI wants us to kind of waste our time. That's my personal take.
That's a good point. Thank you. I recommend everyone in the audience to listen to Aman's full presentation. It is in the chat, immunizewisely.chatango.com, that the amount of lights, that was striking, of how many lights, it was billions and trillions. You know, there's just so much that has been rolled out.
Yeah, they have, the target is, the estimates are 600 million smart lights and smart poles connected to the internet by 2030. So that's almost, one light for 10 people. And they'll be packed in, tiny cities or big cities. They'll be geofenced in their cities and in their neighborhoods. So you can imagine the amount of LED light density per square meter in the future. And blue LED light is extremely, harmful to health. There's lots of papers been published over the last few decades.
Definitely. It's blinding. I don't like being like the cars that have the LED headlights. I'm completely blinded. I have to look away. I'm sure they cause accidents. I think all new cars are designed to cause accidents.
Yeah.
And that's not even to mention the electric cars, all of the electrical currencies going around, breaking. They are very unhealthy for the physical biology, and they're propped up like this is the healthy way to drive, and I disagree. So I won't be buying one.
With respect to electric cars, we are going towards not only going 100% electric on the cars. That's where this Agenda 2030 has been designed for, but There is a push to move everything to fully autonomous driving cars, and they're going to serve three functions. First, they're going to be spies on wheels. So they have LiDARs, they have radars, they have all sorts of cameras, both in visible and invisible spectrum. So they're designed to keep mapping the world around them, as well as the cabin and all the people inside. So they are basically spies on wheels. Number two, they're going to be used for geofencing. So whoever's in the car will be limited to where they can go, how far they can go, because the algorithms will decide when the car stops and how far the car will move for you. And number three, they are basically robots, and they are going to be used to police, and they can also be used to take out people.
By just running into people or causing accidents?
Or crash into other cars or do whatever damage. They're robots. They are robots, and they will be controlled by artificial intelligence algorithms, and all cars since 2003 have been connected to the internet. So they're fully controllable.
So, Aman, worked 15, 20 minutes until the top of the hour, and then they're going to take calls, and a lot of times we don't get a chance to do much discussing. A lot of the callers in talk about totally unrelated subjects. What I'm trying to do is create your credibility, and like everybody, you have detractors. You said you were prepared to touch on some of these accusations of you are raking in the dough from your inventions, and therefore your credibility is questioned. Would you consider addressing some of those accusations we sent, or you could pass on it if you want?
No, I'm happy to address anything. There's nothing to hide.
So could you pull up some of those questions, or we could?
Oh yeah, I can do that.
Just ask me whatever you want.
Jenna's on it. So we're going to make that happen.
Let me say something about the quotes about the maxims of law, gentlemen. Jenna?
Okay.
No matter what never goes away is contract law. Always remember that. Contract law never goes away, no matter what kind of law we talk about. The problem is that there are a lot of invisible contracts that we are bound to, that we do not realize that we're bound to. For example, when it comes to the internet, we're bound to contracts with our service providers. We're always submitting, agreeing to terms of service, and so forth and so on. None of that real estate, it belongs to us. We're basically intruders. We're interlopers, and so we're having to gain permission constantly. The same with the public utility companies, which are not so public anymore. We have contracts with everything and everybody around us. And we have to recognize that this is really the source of our problem.
I was going to ask, a list of questions came our way. Did Pelican, the company you co-founded, or any other companies ever do business in Israel?
No, not that I know of. At least not while I was there, and I don't believe that's true.
Sure. Okay. And did the Pelican Corporation manufacture in China? And how were the employees? No. They were produced here.
No, they were produced. We had our lenses were produced in the Netherlands, Tokyo, in Japan, and Switzerland, and our sensors were done in the United States and Tokyo, and the camera modules in Tokyo and South Korea and Boston, USA.
That's very much like the global production of Boeing airplanes. Parts are from all over the world, and then they come together for marketing.
They came together in Silicon Valley, where all the software was being written for the cameras.
Okay. And there was a question, are you still receiving income from the patents?
No, unfortunately not. Let me explain to you how patent works in corporate America. It's all done under, once you incorporate a company, the incorporation documents for every person who's in debt at least, you give up your rights to all your inventions. You give up your rights to write your inventions to the corporation. So even if you co-founded the company, the inventions are all owned by the corporation. So individuals don't make any money from anything.
Right. That's you have the option of investing if you choose, but that's your cost.
Repeat the question.
Well, the question is, are you still investing or acquiring funds for helping the startup companies develop new technology?
I'm not an investor in startup companies, but I give my time generously to entrepreneurs, whoever need my help. And about three or four companies since I moved to Montana were introduced to me, one in healthcare, some doctors, one in the excavation business, and one in sonic drilling. So I've been helping those people with my time, particularly on business models, helping them understand how to build their business so that they can go and raise funds effectively.
Sure. Yeah. Oh.
When I was an entrepreneur, there were at least half a dozen to a dozen people that helped me navigate the waters for the first time in my first startup. And so I made a promise to myself that I will help entrepreneurs whenever I get the chance.
Okay, so in my opinion, we can kind of put this to rest, your accusations of being controlled opposition, a shill. let's just move on and see if either of you would like to present some pertinent information, because I don't want to scare the pants off anybody with fear, but at a certain point, we're going to need to realize the importance of this nightmare and maybe start to strategize for some solutions to back out of it. And you're welcome to touch base on that. But of course, if you don't want to, I'd be happy to.
Do you want to start this one first, and then I might. Good deal.
I would just say that it's my opinion that we are being bamboozled by about 99% of the alt media into thinking we have better things to do. They are in love with this technology. And it's working against us. I hear the break.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Immunize Wisely. I'm Jenna Chaputis. I'm sitting in for Ingrid Castle. She's out dancing tonight. And our guest, Aman Jabi, is with us, both Brian and myself. And we are talking about the digital panopticon. And I have watched his presentation. It's in our chat room. It's also on YouTube. I recommend people listening to it fully to have full awareness of what is happening outside of most people's awareness. And our greatest challenge is breaking through in the public or breaking through to a majority of people so that they can become informed. And Aman, you were describing how you set up a presentation in your local area. And do you want to talk about what the motivation was and how it went and what was the outcome?
That's a really good series of questions, and I'm happy that you asked them. I came to Montana in August of 2020. I didn't see any of the smart city infrastructure in the northwestern part of Montana when I arrived, and I started seeing a few things go up come November of 2020. And in December, still more started going up in Kalispell. LED lights started coming up in Big Fork, where I live. And I started to sound the alarm to the people I knew. I didn't know a whole lot of people by then, but the few that I knew, I had met a lot of freedom-loving people in the spot of Montana. And I had started making some good friends. And I spent the next 4 or 5 months basically asking people to introduce me to city officials or sheriffs or mayors around the place that I would be able to talk to them. And I was having a very hard time getting introductions. Finally, somebody did introduce me to somebody who's now a friend, and she took me and introduced me to the Flathead Liberty Coalition, which is a group of maybe 200 to 300 people of, freedom-minded people, and they meet every week. Not all the 200 and 300 come every week, but I was introduced to all the important people there, the chairman of that group, and so on and so forth, and I started to sound the alarm. I spoke to many people, but it seemed like people didn't feel the urgency of what was happening. So many months went by, and in December, I came to the conclusion that my approach is not working at all. Like, speaking about this stuff, however serious it is not getting me anywhere. It's not getting people energized, and people are not feeling how bad things are going to get. So then come 1st January, I decided I'm going to spend, a few weeks making a visual presentation, and that was the inspiration. So in mid-March, I actually gave my first presentation to the Flathead Liberty Coalition, and then, people really started to get it. Since then, I have presented to Montana state legislators. I have presented to county commissioners, both of Lake County, where I live, and Flathead County.
Excuse me. We have a short break, and then we'll come back for another 20. So just hang on with that.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, please stay tuned.
Apparently, the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserves are for the entire world. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Over the past year, the Biden administration has released nearly half of the nation's strategic petroleum reserve, supposedly to help gas prices in the United States. Logic would suggest that those reserves were released to U.S. companies to help U.S. citizens, but not surprisingly, that wasn't the case. The American reserves were released, and at least some of it was offered on an international auction. Records show that at least 5.9 million barrels of Strategic Petroleum Reserve have been sold to UIPEC America, a company owned by the Chinese Communist Party. So while you are still paying $4.50 a gallon to gas up your car, our Strategic Petroleum Reserve is being sold to a foreign government that hates you. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.